Welcome to the Good Hope Through Grace broadcast, a Bible teaching program coming to you every Monday evening at 7:30. Sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia, I am Pastor Jeff Arthur. If the Lord is blessing you with this program, it sure would be encouraging to receive a letter from you. Would you please write us at Pastor Jeff Arthur, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011, and just let us know if the program has been a blessing to you. Let me give you that address again. Pastor Jeff Arthur, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011. Okay, tonight we want to continue looking at requested texts of Scripture. These are some passages of Scripture that has been requested that I teach a lesson on. And every one of them has to do with baptism. We've dealt with Acts 2 and verse 38. Last week we dealt with Mark 16 and 16. And tonight we want to deal with the book of Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Let me read the text itself and then we'll look at the context. It says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This will be the text that we'll look at this evening. Of course, again, along with the other two passages that we've already dealt with, these are passages of Scripture that are used by many to attempt to prove that baptism is essential for salvation. Now, I don't believe baptism is essential for salvation, so when I look at this text, it's going to be different than, of course, those that takes that view. So you give us a good listen this evening, and remember that the rule of context, again, is whenever you interpret Scripture, it must not only fit the immediate context that it's in, but it must fit the entire context of Scripture. You can't interpret it in one place, and then in another place, there'll be a clear contradiction there. If you make an interpretation of Scripture and it contradicts, there's nothing to matter if the Scripture, but there is something wrong with your interpretation. So as I give you what I believe is the interpretation of this text, I encourage you just to look at it. You weigh it by Scripture, you weigh it by the entire context of Scripture. Now let's get the context, first of all. In Acts chapter 22, Paul has been arrested, and he's speaking to a crowd of Jews in Jerusalem. He's being taken to prison. He's on the steps. He's on the stairs, and he's relaying to the people, or he's telling the people in the crowd how he was saved, how he went from being the chief persecutor. Of course, Paul's name before he was saved was Saul of Tarsus. The Bible says that he was the chief sinner, and at his time, he was the chief persecutor of the early church. He was an enemy to the early church, so he's going to be explaining to the Jews how this conversion, how this change in his life, how it came about. Let me go ahead and read what he told them. It says in Acts chapter 22 and verse 6, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey," now he was going to Damascus for the purpose of bringing arresting Christians there and bringing them back to Jerusalem. That's what he was going to do. That's what his plan was. That's what his commission was. He was going to find out about the Christians who were there. He was going to put them in chains and going to bring them back to Jerusalem. So he was not going to Damascus for a revival meeting of any type. He was going there as a persecutor. And verse 6 says, "It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come near into Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me, and I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And he said, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And that same hour I looked upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one that shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And why tarriest thou? Here's our text. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So there is the context. He records how on the road to Damascus, Jesus had appeared to him and revealed to him, of course, that he would indeed a chosen vessel unto him, and that he would be called to share the gospel or spread the gospel to the Gentile. Now, the bottom line to this text is when was Paul saved, I believe? Was he saved on the Damascus road when Jesus appeared to him, or was Saul of Tarsus saved after that he came to Damascus and Ananias came and baptized him? So I think that's a good question. Was Paul saved on the road to Damascus, or was Paul saved after that he was baptized? Well, I believe Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, and I'm going to give you the proof for that, and it'll be up to you to check this out and check it out by other passages of Scripture, and I, of course, encourage you to please do that. First of all, we'll find that on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus met Jesus. Before, as we had said, he was a persecutor of Christians. He certainly would have rejected the doctrine that Jesus resurrected from the dead. Now, as a Pharisee, he believed in the resurrection, a coming resurrection one day, but he did not believe that Jesus resurrected. They rejected that fact. They persecuted the Christians for teaching that fact. The main doctrine of Christianity and the main doctrine of the early church and the main doctrine of the church today is the resurrection of the Jesus Christ, not only his death, but also his resurrection. And as you remember from past teachings, that's what the gospel message is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That indeed is the message, the gospel message, and the message that saves. So on the road to Damascus, for the first time in his life, Saul of Tarsus would have realized that this man named Jesus that had been crucified in Jerusalem, that he indeed, as reported by the Christians, that indeed he had resurrected from the dead. I believe as a result of him meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, I believe that Saul of Tarsus became a believer as a result of this heavenly vision he saw of Jesus Christ. I believe that he was saved as a result of that. The book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says this, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what Romans 10:9 says, a very popular text of Scripture. And I think whenever Saul of Tarsus met Christ on the road to Damascus, I think he became a believer in him. Now, I believe that. I think that is evident from the other things that are said in the text. Secondly, on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus' whole attitude changed. As I read earlier in the text, Saul of Tarsus said, "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" Notice how humble he is. He humbled himself before Jesus, and he submitted to whatever Jesus would have him do. Now, one of the purposes of Jesus appearing to Saul of Tarsus was for the purpose of calling him to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He was going to make Paul an apostle. And an apostle, of course, was one that had to meet Christ after that he resurrected from the dead. So he would be a witness of his resurrection. So that was one of the purposes of him calling him. And now he submits to that. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" I don't think Paul was a lost man when he submitted to this. I think that he realized that Jesus had resurrected, that this Savior who had died had indeed resurrected, and I think he believed on him, and now he asked him what he would have him to do. Certainly that should be the attitude of anyone that is lost, and then they realize that Jesus has died and resurrected for us, and then you submit, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now, in another text, in the book of Acts chapter 26, is another account where Paul is witnessing to a man by the name of King Agrippa, and he does similar to what he did here in Acts chapter 22. He tells King Agrippa how he was saved. He tells him about how he was converted on the road to Damascus. He says in the book of Acts chapter 26, I'll read this for you. You can hear the similar language. Verse 15, "And I said," Acts 26, 15, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." Now listen what Jesus says. He's going to explain to Saul of Tarsus again why he appeared to him. It says, "To make thee a minister." He's going to make him a minister. The idea of this is a servant. He's going to make him a minister of the gospel. "And a witness of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." Now listen to his commission. This is what as he went forth and as he shared the gospel message, here's the results of what would happen whenever he shared with them the gospel. This is what the gospel does. Listen real close, Acts 26, 18. "To open their eyes," and your eyes, when you're saved, your eyes are opened, "to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." You'll notice Jesus told Saul of Tarsus that people were sanctified by faith in him. So Jesus, on the road to Damascus, not only appeared to Saul of Tarsus, but he explained that the purpose of him appearing was to make him a minister, and then to make him a witness of the things that he saw. And then he described to him what the effect of his preaching would be. It would be to open the eyes of to open their eyes and to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart by faith. And certainly indeed, as you look at the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote in Scripture, he indeed taught that salvation, that justification, that sanctification was by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, I don't believe that Jesus would commission an unsaved man. As I said, I believe that when he met the resurrected Savior, that he believed on him, that he realized that he resurrected, that he believed in his heart that God had resurrected him from the dead. You see that he called him Lord and submitted, of course, to whatever the Lord would have him do. And then we go on a little bit later, and whenever Ananias comes to meet him in Damascus, of course, the Lord instructs him to go to Damascus, and there he would be told what he was to do. He then told him as far as commission was to do. But Ananias appears to him, and notice what Ananias calls him in Acts chapter 22 and verse 13. He came unto me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. He called him a brother. I don't believe he called him a brother because as of the same nationality, sometimes that indeed would be true. But I believe that Ananias, who before was afraid of Saul of Tarsus because he was an enemy of the church and he was fearful of him, he recognized him as an enemy. Now in Acts 22:13, he recognized him as a brother. Brother Saul, we have certainly in the church today also do that in reference to everyone that trusts Christ as their Savior. We'll refer to them as our brothers or we'll refer to them as our sisters. And the reason why that is because they have the same Heavenly Father as we. They have trusted the same Savior as we. And we are kin by faith in Christ Jesus. So I think the evidence there is clear that Saul of Tarsus was saved on the road to Damascus before he was ever baptized. I don't think Jesus would commission a lost man. I don't think Ananias would call a lost man brother. And I don't think after seeing Jesus resurrected that I don't think Paul didn't disbelieve the gospel then. I think he realized it was true, and I think he trusted it, and that's why Jesus commissioned him as he did. So, with that in mind, let's move on to another point in this particular text. Verse 16, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Now, we must go on and teach what this particular text does indeed mean. Now, if this text means, like those that teach that baptism is essential for salvation, if it means that baptism is indeed what saved Paul after the Damascus Road, he was still lost, and then if this means that it was indeed water baptism that washed his sins away, then we'll find that whenever Paul preached this message or whenever Paul preached the way of salvation to the Gentile, he never taught that baptism was what washed away their sin. It would be an inconsistency. We looked at in the first broadcast at what the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Paul preached. He shared that with us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll mention it to you again. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received. Of course, the book of Corinthians was a Gentile church. Paul was sent to the Gentiles to bring them the message of salvation, to tell them how to be saved. And here he defines the message that he preached. It says, which I preached unto you, which ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved. They had received the gospel message, and they were standing on the gospel message, and by the gospel is how they're saved. Now, what is the gospel? What is the gospel message that Paul preached? He tells us in verse 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was raised, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There again is that death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By receiving that message is how they were saved. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, which ye have received. Now, friends, There's no mention of water baptism in the definition of the gospel. This was the message that Paul had received by special revelation from Jesus Christ to show the Gentiles how to be saved. He would go forth into towns and cities and he would declare unto them how that Christ died for their sins and rose again the third day. That's what he would declare. There was no mention of baptism in the gospel message. And the reason why it's not mentioned in the definition, as we said from the beginning, is because it's not a part of the gospel. It's a picture of the gospel, but it indeed is not a part of the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the same Apostle Paul said in verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Again, baptism is not mentioned as being a part of the gospel message. So to interpret Acts 22:16 to mean that baptism is what saves you or is a part of salvation would be out of complete harmony with the definition of the gospel that this same Paul gave in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This same Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3, when he talked about his salvation, Philippians chapter 3 says this. It says, and I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul said that he wanted to be found in Christ, not trusting, not having his own righteousness, which was of the law, which is what he trusted in before he was saved. But he wanted to be found in him, in the righteousness of God, which comes by faith. And that's Christ's righteousness. My friend, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, he charges to you his 100% righteousness. That's what takes you to heaven. That's why Romans 10 says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is Jesus Christ's righteousness. He was 100% perfect. And when you trust him, when you receive that gospel message, that righteousness is charged to you. Same Apostle Paul wrote Romans 5:1. And he writes this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So to interpret the text that way, to say that baptism is what washes away your sins, would be out of harmony with what Paul taught the gospel was in other texts of Scripture. There's a contradiction there. My friends, the thief on the cross could never go to heaven unless his sins was washed away. No one ever goes to heaven unless their sins are washed away. And the thief on the cross indeed wasn't baptized. Jesus told him, today thou shalt be with me, or today shalt thou be with me in paradise. How could he go to heaven? Because Jesus washed his sins away by faith in his Savior. So you can see when you compare this interpretation with the context of Scripture, my friends, it doesn't fit. So what does it mean? Why did he tell Saul of Tarsus to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord? Well, we've done established that he was already saved. And of course, after you're already saved, we're commanded in Scripture to be baptized. Baptized is a picture of the washing away of sins. Now just think for a moment. Water can clean your flesh, can it not? You can be dirty from a day's work and you can take a bath in water and it can cleanse your flesh. But my friends, water certainly can't wash away the sins of your flesh. It certainly cannot do that. We all realize that. The Bible makes it crystal clear what washes away the sins of your flesh is the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelations 1:5 says, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In the book of Revelation, chapter 7, and it pictures a great multitude that are in heaven. And notice what it says about them in Revelation 7:14. It says they've washed their robes and they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't say they weren't washed white in the waters of baptism. They were washed white by the blood. And indeed, that is what washes your sins away. It is not the water. In the Old Testament scriptures, there was a Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, they would take the blood of a bull and the blood of a goat, and they would take it inside the Holy of Holies, and they would sprinkle that upon the altar of upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, and seven times before it, to make an atonement for the sins of the people for that year. It was called the Day of Atonement. Now, they did that year by year, and that blood of a bull and a goat was a picture of what Jesus Christ would do on Calvary's cross. Well, it says the blood of the bull and the goat would make an atonement for their sins. But when we turn to the book of Hebrews, it says it was not possible for the blood of a bull and a goat to take away sins. You see, the bull and a goat was just a picture of what Jesus would do when he made the atonement for our sins on Calvary's cross. It was just a picture. Folks, baptism doesn't literally wash sins away. We can see that. It could not wash or purify your heart. In the book of Acts chapter 15, Simon Peter, in talking about salvation, records this particular text, and I'll read that to you, and I'll start to close the broadcast. My, how time flies. In Acts chapter 15, listen to what Simon Peter says. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, "Men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as unto us. Put no difference between us and them." Now listen to this, folks. Purifying your hearts by faith. Purifying your hearts by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. And when you put faith in the substitutionary death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it washes you from your sin. Now, when you arise and are baptized, you are publicly picturing to everyone that is present that your sins has been washed away. Not washed away by the water, it's a picture. The same as the blood of a bull and a goat was merely a picture. It wasn't the real thing that washed. It was the blood of Christ that it pictured that washed. It's not the waters of baptism that washes your sins away. It's the blood of Christ that washes them away. Baptism is a picture of it. And you're to baptize no one but those that have first repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have had their sin debt paid for and has had their sins washed away. So the meaning of the text is this. Paul needed to arise now that he was saved and be immersed in water, which would picture what the blood of Jesus Christ did. And that's why we do it today. This has been the Good Hope Through Grace broadcast. You listen in again next week for the next text of Scripture. I pray that the Lord bless you with this. And I pray that you relook your position if what I said contradicted it. In Christ's name, see you next week.